Hello, hello. You're listening to a special Tuesday edition of Is Good on killradio.org. My guest today is Protostar. This is a track from their latest release, the Flaky Actress EP. Have a listen. We'll be back in just a few minutes to do some live stuff and an interview. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Protostar. Well, part of Protostar anyway. Payne, how are you?
Good, how are you? Thanks for having me.
What part of Protostar are you anyway? Protostar are.
I'm the third leg. I'm not sure. I guess the guitars and vocals and a little bit of electronics.
Did it always start out as a cohesive group, or did it start out with just one member and then you added members to form the band?
B. I'll choose answer B, John, and that's
that your final answer?
Yeah, that's my final answer. Yeah, it started out in the studio, and then we built a live band around that, and it's sort of it's taken on different forms over the different places that we've lived in. But here in California, it's MC Logo 65, Aaron on bass, and me on guitar and electronic. MC Logo 65, of course, he's the drummer. And everybody seems to meet him first, like you did.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of the master of range. He's the master of puppets.
Nice, nice. And where did you guys come from before you came to L.A.?
All of us are from the Midwest. MC Logo and I are from Iowa originally. We went to the University of Iowa, and we've been in several different bands. And Erin, the bass player, she's from Ohio originally.
And did you come to L.A. specifically to pursue music? Or to run away from it?
Logo 65 and I did separately. I came out a couple years ago. He came out about 7 years ago, and we met Erin while we were out here because we needed a bass player. And she pretty much said, "You need a bass player, and I think I should be it." And, you know, we couldn't argue with her, so.
You know, MC Logo's listening at home right now, and he's going, "Oh, my God, he just said we came out a few years ago."
Yeah, that's right. Yes, we've been together now for 40 years.
Now we can finally do the music that we wanted to. What is the origin of the name Protostar and the unique spelling?
While we were in the studio, I guess we figured out, well, we needed a name. Usually people think of the name first and then try to figure out what kind of sound that they needed. But I had hemmed and hawed over a name for a long time, and happened to be looking through an astronomy book in the glossary and ran across Protostar, and then Googled that and learned about that. And
what is a protostar?
It's the beginnings of a sun, of a star, the gas and dust and energy slowly collecting over millions of years. And pictures of them are pretty cool. I'm sure you could Google the name and see a bunch of Hubble, you know, telescope pictures. And
at the risk of being too sentimental, do you see a parallel between the idea of you know, a star being created and creating a band? You know,
I wasn't thinking that at the time, but I hear that a lot. You know,
how long have you been? Protostar's been together as a cohesive unit for about 2 years. You're saying?
In Southern California, yeah. Yeah, I mean, our first record we did in 2000, and we've been, you know, playing with different personnel up until Southern California 2 years ago. Now we have three of us, and we've just been playing pretty much in Southern California.
Well, cool. Well, why don't we jump into a live song, and then we'll come back and talk about how you developed your sound for Protostar.
Okay.
What do you have for us?
This is a song. We're going to have a new record next year. We don't know the name of the record yet. In fact, I don't even know the name of the song yet, but let's just call it Don't Worry.
But you're Protostar, we're sure of that.
Yeah.
Okay. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Protostar.
Don't worry about the money, don't worry about prefab war, don't worry about unconsciousness, don't worry if you seem too bored. Don't worry if you can't pay it back. Don't worry if you don't want to see. Don't worry if they don't love you, love. Don't worry if we start to bleed. Thank you.
governing. Don't worry over dirty air. Don't worry about your water source. Don't worry if it doesn't seem fair. Don't worry about the lies we made. Don't worry about the truth we trade. Don't worry if you choose to renege. Don't worry if it gets too big.
Protostar on Is Good on killradio.org, isgoodmusic.com. So we're getting kind of a special treat here because you don't usually, it's not usually just a guy and a guitar sound for Protostar. You're actually known for something a lot more production heavy.
Yeah.
tell me about the unique Protostar sound with some of the tools that you use.
Generally drums, bass, guitar, and fused with a lot of electronica, psychedelia, I suppose. We definitely, our albums definitely have a lot of, heavy processing, so to speak, or treatments, or...
Why do you think that is? Like, why isn't it just, why aren't you content being just another, you know, indie rock band? What are the other elements that you bring into it? Like, why do you feel you need to broaden it?
I've been in a rock band before. My first band was definitely pretty much straight up rock. We might have a little keyboard, but it was pretty much rock driven. And after that sort of disintegrated, I found myself with I'd sort of collected sequencers and samplers and synths and had a guitar and access to a little production facility, and just found myself making songs and didn't really expect anything to come out of it until I found myself with pretty much a record. And then that's when I kind of had to figure out, I guess I better figure out a name and some titles and a record name and, you know, find a band that can we can hopefully translate this into a live situation, you know. So it kind of was born in the studio, and then, you know, in the opposite way, then you have to figure out how to
translate it live. And what was that process like? Your first, what was the very first time that you played live as Protostar? What was the setup like, and what was going through your mind at the time?
I thought, I didn't know what people were going to think, because we're originally from a very, jam band oriented environment. A lot of people into the Dead and into Fish in that time. And so for an electronic act to come up, you know, we didn't know what people were going to think, but as pretty much we just kind of let a beat loop just repeat, and we just sort of improvise, and just, it was sort of a jam band sound with drum machines and synthesizers.
did people get it, like, right off the top, or does it take some convincing?
Surprisingly, people did. I was surprised. I'm always expecting people to hate it. So I guess when you expect the worst, you know, it's like, you know, you don't have really much to be disappointed about. And I got to tell you, it feels phenomenal.
Have you been able to develop a sort of a following, an audience of Protostar heads that to follow you around from gig to gig?
It is surprising to see people who know the songs at shows, that you see people you never met mouthing the words, and
wow,
that always blows me away. That's always wild.
Let's talk about the words. What are some of the themes that you seem to keep coming back to in your music, and why?
Oh, that's a good question. I suppose that love is, you know, every type of love, universal, romantic, blah blah blah, but not to wax poetic or not. I suppose that, and I guess the song I just did was a bit more culturally or socially commentary like. I don't know. I don't really have a plan ahead of time, like, oh, I'm going to sing about this or I'm going to sing about this. Sometimes the words just sort of evolve.
What's more common? Is it for you to come up with a melody first, like come up with a song and then put words to it, or start with the words?
Sometimes the words come first. Like, for example, this song, the words came 5 years ago, and then I've been working on this melody and trying to put words, you know, to this melody with a completely different idea lyrically, and then that just wasn't going nowhere, and I happened to find these words, and it just seemed to fit. Or sometimes, you know, it's just all done on the acoustic, you know, in terms of the structure. Sometimes it's with, you know, it's just made around a beat, like we just construct a beat or find a loop. Or a bass line, you know, or arpeggiated bass line, you know, on a synth, and construct the whole song around that. I like to keep it fluid, you know. I definitely like the adventure of songwriting. I get kind of uncomfortable if you start thinking, oh, well, we did it this way last time. Let's stick with this way so we're safe.
Right,
that,
right.
That gets me a little uncomfortable when we start thinking like that.
Now, you know, as a guitar player and a singer-songwriter, I'm sure you probably get a huge thrill out of the live element of being up there on stage and performing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as you know, on top of that, as an electronic producer, I'm wondering if there's also that other voice in you saying, you know, I'd really rather just be in the studio laying these tracks down so that they work instead of trying to come up with a way to translate it live.
Yeah.
Is that an ongoing struggle?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's. Yeah, I like playing live, but I could be a studio rat for the rest of my life. you know, I used to, since high school, I've been lucky enough where people have either worked at a radio station where, you know, at the end of the night, they'd sort of open up the production studio and let me, you know, do my thing till 3 or 4 in the morning. And I thought I could easily be a studio rat, you know, just put a tray of food under the door and the daily paper, and just
every once in a while you just pass a CD through the mail slot.
I could definitely become a hermit in the studio, and I find myself doing that a lot. And, like, you know, so getting out and playing live is probably a good thing for me socially.
I don't go out anymore. I make bands come here.
yeah, you got a good thing here.
Yeah, I've been very lucky. What is the live scene like? I mean, is when you guys are playing live, are you playing to a dance crowd or a listening crowd or both?
A little bit of both. It's nice when people start dancing, but a lot of times, I guess it depends on the venue. You know, some venues there's room to dance, or some there's just room for people just to listen and to. But when people are dancing, that's a lot of our stuff is pretty rhythm oriented, so. There's a pretty thick backbeat, so if they're dancing, that's, you know, that's pretty exciting, and it's good for the vibe for the whole room, and we like dancing anyway. I mean, we like, you know, we have friends that are DJs, and we like going out and shaking and cutting a rug, shaking a leg, whatever, whatever the kids are calling it these days.
pulling a tendon.
Yeah.
that's interesting about the vibe of the room. I found a lot of bands that have come in here have felt that there's a lot hanging on the idea that you're playing, you need to play with the right people, that for mm-hmm. for the right crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of like indie rock bands, and then they find that they're playing right after a heavy metal act or something like that.
Right.
And there's just no the people there, just there's no real interest in what's going on.
Yeah.
Have you had that experience at all, like sort of being having that electronic element and then rock element? Have you been out there opening for or playing after other bands that, you know, sort of a clash of audiences?
Yes.
Are you taking a course in conversation? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, so I mean, and that's fine. It's usually, you know, we found ourselves definitely opening up for a very metal bands are sandwiched in between two really big, you know, loud metal bands that doesn't sound anything like us. But it's, you know, meeting them on a personal level has always been a good thing. I mean, in terms of, there hasn't been any animosity in terms of interpersonal, you know, dealings with other bands. But yeah, I mean, we found ourselves definitely having completely different crowds, you know, and not really, you know, worried if we were going to get hurt or not.
But have you seen that in, even within your own fan base, where, you know, there are people who really like rock and there are people who really like electronica, and then there's this kind of what I call, you know, fundamentalist music lovers who are, you know, hardcore about one or the other and refuse to open their ears to the other. Do you have within your own fan base people who are always saying, oh, you need to do more rock stuff, or we, you know, why don't you do more electronic stuff?
If they have, I guess they haven't said it to me.
Not to your face, huh?
Not to my face.
They wouldn't dare. But do you wonder yourself about the balance between rock and electronica for the Protostar sound?
I don't know if I think about it consciously. I guess we just assume there's going to be some sort of balance. We know there's going to be guitars and bass and drums. We also know there's going to be some form of electronics happening. And I guess, like I said, there's no real blueprint, but we just find ourselves gravitating to mixing it up in those types of ways. And
Can we go ahead and listen to another track from one of the many
sure.
CDs that you brought in?
Yeah.
You've produced a lot of music for a band that's only been around for a few years. How many EPs and full lengths have you released?
Well, we just did our first EP, which is, I think we just heard a song from that earlier.
That's the Flaky Actress EP?
Mm-hmm. And that was intentionally trying to be a bit more rock and not worrying about electronics so much, because we knew working on our record right now, that's going to be very heavily electronic. So, and we thought we would just sort of wait and just, because it's been a while since I've done just straight up rock, which I like a lot. Although, you know, in all fairness, there's one or two tunes on that EP, which is, you know, I claim to be rock oriented. There's a little synthesizer on it. Yeah, exactly. Or organs, you know.
This is the sound of me opening up a CD.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's put the mic right there. I'm so bad at this. I need nails. I always have so much trouble getting CDs. I hate it when I come out of Amoeba with a new CD, and I'm like, damn it, I bought it. Give me the CD. I can't seem to get it out of the package. What am I opening here? This is Wanderlust.
Yeah,
tell me about that while I try to open.
I blame myself, first of all, for not opening that for you to begin with. Make it easy for the DJ. But yeah, we did that in late 1999. I think right before New Year's, in the dead of winter, in the middle of Iowa. Cooped up, yeah, and 35 below. I know I don't mean to sound like a sob story, but you know.
Well, you mentioned before also about the you know, coming from Iowa and having a sound that's very different from what people are used to there. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you experience any sort of negativity from the locals as a result of that, or were people more responsive than you thought they'd
be? People were really open-minded to it, and we were surprised. We got a lot of support in the town. You know, it was one of those things. No one was doing it in that town that we knew of, but we quickly found out, at least people told us that, I guess, because like I said, there was a lot of jam bands in that town, but there's also a lot of club culture in at the university, a lot of DJs, a lot of nights you can go to a bar and somebody's spinning, you know, techno or house or...
I guess anywhere there's young people, you're going to find more variety of music.
Especially this is like a liberal arts college town with like, you know, 80,000 people. So it's, you know, a lot going on in terms of diversity. So I guess, you know, maybe those two elements, had something to do with it.
Can you recommend a track from this CD?
Goodness, it's been a while. Probably something a bit up-tempo, maybe.
Sounds good to me.
How about track 7?
What's that called?
It's called The Takeover.
This is Protostar on Is Good on killradio.org. Still opening packages.
That's right.
with Protostar. I just real quick, where can people get more information about Protostar online or otherwise?
www.protostar.com, and for those just to make it crystal clear, it's Protostar with an extra R at the end. So a lot of times people think Protostar R or
Sometimes people probably just pause at the end, like Protostar.
Yeah. Either way. But yeah, in order to find us, it's two R's at the end of protostar.com. Or on MySpace, we're there. And
And what about buying CDs? So you're on CD Baby, iTunes, whole deal?
All those things. Pulserated.com, which is a British... online. Not to outshadow. Always go to Kill Radio first. But
but if you must go to another internet radio station,
PulseRated.com. They're streaming our music as well, and they're I can't remember what Sky, whatever they have Sky Channel in Europe, but they're playing our, I think they're playing our stuff right now.
Let me give you an opportunity to talk trash about your bandmates. I'm kidding, not talk trash, but I mean, tell me about the other people in Protostar, what they do, and how you found them, and why they fit into the sound.
Well, MC Logo 65, I've known him since college, and we were in it was my first band, but he was the drummer, and we've just been close for a long time. We've always talked about doing other projects, and we've kind of, even during that time, we've had a couple side projects. And but after our first band sort of disintegrated, he moved here and I moved to Chicago, and that's when the Wanderlust record kind of started getting written. And pretty much he sort of turned into an administrative part, and just got things set up in those ways. He said, hey, listen, I booked some studio time. Let's meet in Iowa, I know, over the holidays. And
so it's sort of like an in-house manager.
Yeah, he's kind of become that. And, you know, because he's definitely a visionary that way. He can see the big picture. And otherwise, I don't think a lot of this stuff would have gotten done. And, you know, even in terms of songs, like a lot of the songs I would have written would just have sat on the shelf if it wasn't for him, like, oh yeah, you got to do that.
Is that a little harder for you, just sort of doing the whole self-promotion thing and the organizing? And
yeah, I'm terribly disorganized.
You're far too creative for that.
I mean, he has got a real knack for that, and I really don't. So I mean, he's definitely he's really made things happen in that way, and on top of that, being a great drummer. At first, we tried doing the click track thing years ago, and he warmed up to it once we just started. We would just make a beat, and he would just play to the beat, and that would, you know, that seemed to be much, much more intuitive to work with, which I wouldn't know, but it seems a click's kind of a sterile thing to work with, but if you're listening to another beat, it seems easier to just play to it. I guess
it's easier to connect to, since it's not,
yeah, especially
not
as
artificial.
A drummer. Yeah. Yeah. Erin, we met her through one of Matt's friends who, she just happened to be living in the same apartment complex, and she hadn't played bass for years, but she learned how to play bass by listening to the AC/DC Back in Black album when she was a teenager.
Nice.
You know, in the 80s, you know, and, you know, we just all just hit it off really well, and she just, you know, and for her to say, you know, you need a bass player, because we didn't have one. I was programming in a bass into our sequencer, which has its moments, but it really, in a live situation, a real bass
looks
player,
like something's missing if you don't have that.
yeah. So, and when she just said, you know, I think I should be it, you know, we really couldn't argue with her, because she really came through, and as well, she does a lot of backup vocals.
Well, cool. You want to go into another live song?
Sure. I think I'm ready here.
What's this one called?
This one is called... This one's called Nonfiction, which is off our Malai Kofta record we did a couple years ago.
My guest is Protostar. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
You're the paper mill, I'm the ink supply. Alone at last, one moment could press a novel. I'll be the publisher, the retailer, the mid. wretched old man, 'cause you've always been the muse. But the writing is in both of us. Let's collaborate in nonfiction. I cannot escape what we wrote. A chance, though far, is far from remote. Yeah, the tabs are good, alignment's fine, profess prepared. All we need is closer spacing. It's cliche, but you know I said you don't have to be alone again. Ooh, 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 ooh. But the writing is in both of us. Let's collaborate in nonfiction.